QHV monitoring.
Good morning, KO4HKX. I can't remember your name right now. Still trying to get used to your call. I remembered the name, or the voice, but I couldn't remember the name.
No worries, man. I know, especially for me, it's a bunch to learn, new people, you know. All you have to do is remember, man, that is the hardest call sign I've heard. That must be Nick.
Mine was the same way for me when I first started. I couldn't get it out. I have to have a sticky note on the dash so that I could remember how to say it.
Yeah, cricket, and I cut my letters out and stuck them right underneath my radio here at the base station. On the net with you, I literally read the letters off the piece of wood here.
You do what you got to do to remember it.
This morning?
I'm to Anderson to a business meeting. We have a MACO meeting for the district, usually about once a month.
Further down this way is beautiful, man.
Highway 8 right now.
5 right there.
Done made my way down Caesar's Head and got over here on 8 and I'm coming into backside easily, I guess, right now.
I wish I knew where Penrose was. I've heard that it's a really pretty place. I've just never been around there to see it.
Look where the DuPont State Forest is in western North Carolina. That's the area.
Super jealous now. Bike riding when I was a little younger, you know, we would go to DuPont a lot. DuPont's fun.
That if you're going down the mountain like you're going into Hendersonville, I'm right there at the foot of the mountain.
I have one of my really good friends lives up in Weaverville, which I don't think is very far from there.
Far, it's about, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour on up the road.
That it would be. Oh, there's something I was going to say. What was it? I threw Henderson on my way up to Weaverville. Is that different than Hendersonville?
I threw Henderson County. Hendersonville's the city. A lot of people just call it Henderson. So, same thing.
Got a meeting?
This is our day to go to Sam's and run all of our big errands and stuff like that that we need to do for the month.
The Sam, or at Anderson today, huh?
This far, you might as well make the best out of it.
Cliff and I, we use that same Sam's Club in Anderson there, but it's a little bit further for you, I think. Good club. Don't have any complaints with it, you know. I like the Easley Club a lot, too. It's pretty nice.
The one we'll stop at is on the way back through. We'll stop in the Easley Club.
Of Sam's, yep. And I have a Walmart Plus subscription as well. And with the Walmart Plus subscription, you get 10 cents off per gallon at any of the Murphy USA stations. And most of the time, actually 100% of the time that I've seen, that 10 cents off at Murphy's has made it cheaper than the Sam's Club gas, which is kind of crazy to me.
I never could figure out how to get the 10 cents. It wouldn't give me but 5.
Walmart Plus membership?
Because I couldn't get the full benefit out of it, and nobody could tell me how to do it, so I just dropped it.
KX, KQ4, QHV. Yeah, I hear that. It was a little difficult. They've since, I don't know, I've been a Walmart Plus member for maybe 6 months now. And when I first got it, it was very difficult to find that code and get it all working. But they have since revamped it and put it in a better location. And it's pretty easy to find now. And it's worked for me for 10 cents every time. So I got no complaints as far as that goes. I also really enjoy the free shipping because what they do is they'll ship it from the store with like an Uber driver or something. But when you order it as shipping, there's no option to tip your driver. I know that sounds bad, but at the same time, you know, I save a buck when I can. So you get like free next day shipping from the store, but no extra delivery charges to have someone drive it out to you.
Good call, Spark driver.
Catch that last one.
Houston, can you come back again? I think we both missed your transmission there.
But yeah, I asked several times when I went into Murphy's about getting a discount, full discount, and nobody could explain how to get it.
Sir, I doubt the Murphy people even got the memo. See, today I think my wife and I are going to take the boat out. I finally got it all cleaned up. I didn't cover it last year, so it sat in my yard all year uncovered, or all winter uncovered, and got pretty nasty, so it took me about a week to get her cleaned up, and put her in the water yesterday with a buddy of mine, give it a shot, and runs good. It's a pretty old boat, so, you know, having to make sure it's all operational before I can take the ladies out. And so today, hopefully, I can get the wife and the dogs on the boat, and we'll go out there and have a good time. I did find a great heron nesting site yesterday when we were out on the lake. It's pretty cool, man. There must have been 15, maybe even more. It was unbelievable, of these great blue herons and great white herons, and they're all perched at the very tippy top of these trees. It was quite a sight to see.
Nice. And, yeah, you got to get it all cleaned up and ready to go. But it's been so wet up around the house, my excursion is starting to mold. We got mold growing on it because you can't wash it. It's been so wet and under the trees. Man, it's crazy.
I live in a forest, sounds like you do too, and I have a Tundra, and it was parked under the trees all year, and I didn't wash it, and it had all kinds of stuff growing on it, man. I took it out to one of those Tiger Wash places, one of those, like, drive-through-a-tunnel deals, and cleaned it up pretty good. I mean, I knew I'd have to finish it, but got a majority of the work done for me. It worked out pretty good. I was pleased with that.
This past week's been probably the driest I remember all year long.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I mentioned this, but I make hot sauce, and I grow all the peppers myself, and, man, I haven't even been able to get my mounds furrowed up, because since the wet, I haven't been able to put the equipment in the field, you know, and now it's getting so late, I've got 130 Carolina Reaper plants sitting on my deck in little cups there that need to be put in the ground, and I got to go work the field still, you know, it's crazy.
A wet year. But it's been a cool year, too, so that's been nice. I'm enjoying that part of it.
Cool mornings like this are definitely my favorite.
It was 50 degrees this morning when we pulled out at the house, so it's nice.
On air conditioning as well, I hardly have to run mine at all so far.
After that, same here. I bet ours hadn't been on maybe four times all year.
It's not even a really cold winter either. I don't remember. I don't recall it was.
I mean, it was cool up at the house, but it wasn't no long cold periods where you're killing anything.
Hey, I bet you spend a pretty good portion of the day on the road, don't you?
Most of the time.
Hawks perched up or anything like that?
Time, yeah. I'll see them out and about.
Are you familiar with what an American kestrel is?
Say that I am.
For an American kestrel for quite a while now. I know there's a couple around here. Can't ever seem to put eyes on one of them when I got my trap around, you know?
I take it you're an avid bird watcher or interested in them anyway.
Falconer. So I want to trap a kestrel so I can train it to hunt starlings out of the car.
That's pretty neat. See that on TV quite a bit, and watching mountain men and things like that, and always find it pretty fascinating that you can take a wild bird and get it to do things like that.
It's a lot of effort, you know, but it's definitely a pretty cool thing. You know, it's more about just enjoying the experience and being able to share it, I guess, with the bird more than it is mastering the bird, per se, you know. They're not like a dog. They don't do tricks for you.
No, I imagine not. And somebody was on here the other night talking to somebody about pigeon racing. Was that you?
That was me, guilty as charged. So I have some homers here. Now, I don't race the pigeons, and we were just talking about racing pigeons, but I have some homers here that I use for falconry purposes, you know. And so we got into talking about pigeons, and then I thought about, like, how much money there is in the racing pigeon kind of crowd, because that's where I get the pigeons, or that's where I first got my pigeons. I raise them all myself now. But, and those guys, wow, just the effort that they put into racing pigeons. I mean, they go across state lines and stuff. It's crazy.
Bit of that conversation, and I never heard of it, and I was really surprised at the amount of winnings you could get from that.
Oh, it's crazy. I was telling him, I don't remember who it was I was talking to, but I was telling that other gentleman I was talking to that there's almost an underground race in Georgia that they do every year, and a couple of years ago, the purse was right over $1 million, and the guy that I got my pigeons from and kind of helped me get set up and stuff, and I didn't buy all my pigeons from him, but I got a couple pigeons from him, 2 years prior, so about 4 years ago now, I guess, to me getting the pigeons from him, he won a $50,000 purse with one of his birds in a race. And I know that some of these birds, I've seen them on Craigslist, right? But going for, like, six figures for a homing pigeon is kind of, I don't know, man, that's like, crazy.
I had never heard of anything like that, so I was kind of intrigued by it. So, but good to know you're the one doing it.
I can't really do the, and I suspect that you could be in a similar situation, but I can't really do the racing for pigeon loft in a field kind of where it's open to the sky and the pigeons can see it. So they have, like, electronic gates that are in your loft that when your pigeons enter the loft, it counts the individual and sets off a stopwatch. And they're all, everybody's gates, they call them gates, they're all linked together. So even though you and I may not have our pigeon loft adjacent to each other, our clocks, per se, would be able to tell whose pigeon arrived first. anyway, so being in under canopy definitely slows down the birds. You almost have to have it out, not under tree cover, to get them to come back much quicker.
I can see that. And no, you don't find many big fields or open areas up around where I'm at. There are some, but they're not big enough for anything like that unless you're going in circles.
Good open shot to the sky, you know, where they can see it from most directions overhead, because they fly in circles when they get close to where they know their home is. But you'd want it close to your house because you deal with them every day, usually twice a day or so. So, you wouldn't want to have to drive to get to your pigeon loft. And I literally live under trees, so I don't ever really let mine free fly too much unless we're out doing falconry stuff.
Under trees, too. And so, not going to be something I could do. I'm not interested in, but I just like to learn about it and hear a little more about it.
Living under trees, as opposed to racing pigeons, so I don't plan on changing that anytime soon.
Like the shade and coolness and the fresh air that comes along with those trees.
And I really, even though, you know, we have a little bit of stuff dropped on the cars from the trees, man, I really like having the shade to park my car in, you know, because I have a black car, and it gets so hot at work when I have to drive out to work, and it never does that here because it's always in the shade, you know.
The only thing that I drive that's not black is the tool truck. And it's solid white. The Excursion's black. Pickup truck's black. The wife's car's black. And live on a dirt road and on the north side of the mountain where sun doesn't actually hit all year long.
I'd like to see the north side of the mountain there sometime. I really enjoy mountain stuff and being in the trees and stuff like that. So what kind of things pique your interest?
I'm doing the Macco thing. The amateur radio is about it. Don't have much time for anything else, unfortunately. That's one of the drawbacks to it I found after I got in. But I used to like to go four-wheeling with my side-by-side. I got a bunch of buddies we'd go and that kind of thing, just getting out into nature and having a good time.
Pretty, I don't know anything about you, so don't be offended, but can you move pretty freely through the woods and stuff?
But yes, I can still move. Need to get back into shape again to do that.
to come and follow us through the woods sometime with the birds. Love to have you. You know, the season starts back in August, and I usually start flying more around October and November. I usually wait till more of the leaves fall off the trees so you can actually see what's going on. So November, December, those are the really good months.
Be interested in that. Like I said, it'd take me a little bit to build my stamina back up to do that kind of thing.
Well, it's not that much. It's really we just walk through the woods. You know, I might go running through the woods to chase after the bird for a moment if something happens, but typically the hunting party that I go with or that I take with me, most of those guys just walk.
It'd be pretty interesting to see how it all goes about.
At least experience it once in your life might be fun, you know?
And that's what it's about. Try to experience as much as you can.
Pretty cool to be up close to the birds and get to see them face to face, you know?
So what do you do for a living, Nick?
Independent design. I'm a mechanical designer, engineer, independent. I work for a company called Blue Ridge Designs. I'm a 1099 contract employee for him, and he pretty much just keeps me busy with various projects from other companies around the area.
Okay, I remember you telling me about that about 2 weeks ago now. So, yeah, now I remember that.
Man, time flies. It hardly feels like it's been 2 weeks at all.
When my days seem like they just fly by because I just go from stop to stop to stop, and then at the end of the day, I'm done, and I'm like, what? You know, it just flies by, you know. It's like 10, 15 hours just flew by, nothing to it.
New power supply, and it seems to be working really well, so I'm pretty pleased with that.
It sounded really good into the repeater.
6 decibel gain beam antenna pointed directly at the repeater, so I hope it's good. And pushing 20 watts, I think I could probably get by with less than that, but the crazy thing is, for me to hit the Anderson repeater, I have to push max power about 50 watts, but the antenna's not pointed at their repeater, so, you know.
Trust me, I know the struggles. It's a struggle for me to get into anything other than the 610, the 146.64 machine that's on Barrow Wallow in Hendersonville, and I can get on the 147.105 that's over in Fruitland, and that is about it.
Communication?
I don't. I have the capability, but I don't do a whole lot of it.
Out sometime. I've been studying for my general license and have a goal of eventually being able to talk to a friend of mine that's up in Wisconsin, and he just got his technician license as well and is in kind of wanting to study for, or is studying for the general and wanting to take that. And that's kind of what got us into this, was thinking it'd be cool to be able to talk to each other, you know, end to end without any other equipment. We went to college together, and he's from this area, and I don't know. We've known each other a long time, and just thought it'd be fun.
It'd be interesting to have a conversation without having to pick the cell phone up. So it's worth it. And I have my general. I've been studying to get my extra. I need to get it done before they change the question pool here. I think it's next month. So working toward that.
I sort of mobile setup for my car. I've been looking at a couple options. I've been looking at the FTM 500 from Yaesu, and then there's a another radio from ICOM. What is that one? It's like a 5100A, I think. Are you familiar with either of those?
I'm talking to you on the 5100.
You would recommend that one over the Yaesu?
No, the Yaesu 500, but I've now put my hands on one of them. And I don't know. I like the ID5100 because it's got the big screen on it. So I like that part of it. The thing I don't like about it is it doesn't come with any mounting hardware.
Is it available for purchase, or do you have to kind of make your own stuff there?
Available for purchase.
Really good. When you call the net, are you using that same radio?
On my Yaesu 991A. And my beam at that time, my base station.
Same radio I use for my base station that I'm talking to you on right now.
I like that radio. It's got a lot of capabilities in a fairly small package.
Radio from Roland off of Gary's SwapNet from, you know, the meet, or not meet, but the club.
Yeah, that's good. That's what it's there for. Glad somebody can get some use out of it.
Yeah, I love it, man. Roland was a super great guy, too. I don't know if you've met him or talked to him, but getting on up there in age, but, man, he's a fantastic human.
Met him face-to-face. I've talked to him a couple times on the radio, but other than that, no.
Some time, and I can scope out your 5100. That'd be cool. Have you ever been to that HRO in Atlanta?
Have not. I've not been to HRO yet.
Like...
I'd like to know myself one time, but the 5100 is what I use in the excursion, and then when the day, during the day on when I'm in a tool truck, you'll hear me on the Kenwood 710 GA.
Yeah, that 710, man, I'd really like to have one of those, but I think the prices on those have kind of gone up since they got discontinued.
Brown, you can find them for about $500 usually in that neighborhood. But they're hard to find.
Here's to your ICOM.
I think that I can do APRS on it, and in all honesty, functionality on it is easier because it's got the buttons. You can move through the menu and things quicker and a little easier for me.
That's the same way I am. I'm not a huge fan of the touch screens. I prefer buttons, which is kind of why I was looking at that Yaesu. I think that Yaesu also does APRS and crossband.
It does. I'd have to go back and read again about it. It's been a little bit, but I'm pretty sure it does. But the Kenwood, I mean, their APRS is, it's smooth.
Tab, is that a THN head on that or something? I remember reading something about some sort of back-end programming or something like that.
The TNC in it, and so that it can do all it needs to for the functionality there. But I don't think you have to have the TNC built into it. It's just part of the programming with the GPS. And there's radios out there like the 700 that'll do it. Doesn't have the GPS, you have to add it to it, or it's a fixed location, so you can do it that way.
Basic ham question, I hope you can maybe help me with, but I've heard a lot of people talking about Hamfest. Is there like one big Hamfest, you know, or is that just like a season where a bunch of people will get together and have festivals?
It's a kind of a seasonal thing. But they're going on all year long. Gary and I, KI4DOS, usually go to quite a few of them throughout the year. Waynesville is coming up here. Can't remember if it's June or July the 20th that it's coming up. I'd have to look it up again. But I think that's one of the next closest ones we go to.
Well, so it's more of a season. I was wondering, just because online I saw guys saying, you know, wait till Hamfest and you can find stuff on sale. So I didn't know if it was like, you know, one big event like Woodstock or something, you know.
I had one of the biggest up in Dayton, Ohio. And then the next biggest one, I think, is down in Alabama. If I remember correctly, I'm not, like I said, I'm driving right now, so I can't look it up. But, and then they have one in Florida too, if I'm not mistaken. Those are your three bigger ones, Orlando, Dayton, and I can't remember the one where the one is in Alabama. Maybe somebody else listening can tell us.
Or Red. People mentioning that Kenwood is possibly getting back into the amateur radio market, and there was speculation that possibly they'd be releasing a new radio or two for Hamfest. So have you heard any of that or anything like that?
just released a new HD. They revamped the 74 CH-74, I believe it is, and come out with a 75, and it looks pretty nice. I've been watching a lot of videos about it, and it's a tri-band HD with lots of capabilities to it, so might be something to look into.
He's limited to 5 watts.
Some of them are 5 watts, some of them are a little less, and you got some out there that advertise that they are more, but you got to be a little leery about that.
I've got a Baofeng.
I've got one too, and it's got its place, but for me it's not an everyday radio.
Setting up one of those two mobile units I was talking about earlier, because I'd like to try some crossbanding with the HT and then my base station here.
Quite a bit of crossbanding when I'm at the house. I've got two of the little Kenwood 710s, and one of them I keep at the house crossband so that I can just carry an HT with me when I'm around the neighborhood. And so I do quite a bit of it up that way.
Probably should start looking into. I haven't spent any time studying about HTs. And the only HT I've got is that UV5R, and it might be time to upgrade that one if I think I might want to start using it with some crossbanding.
And you'd be surprised at what you can do with 5 watts. I mean, all honesty, and a good antenna and that kind of thing. You'd be really surprised what they're capable of. So don't rule them out.
Keep on getting something, if nothing else, just to be able to use it with my crossbanding. I thought that sometimes when I'm out with a larger hunting party, it'd be pretty handy to be able to park the truck up at the top of the hill or something and then be able to communicate with it, you know.
5100 does that. I'll use it for that sometimes.
Sure, you got a radio in your Matco truck.
That's where I got the 710. I got it in there.
So I guess you're probably getting pretty close about now.
Pretty close. I'm got about 2.5 miles left.
Let me get started on my day as well here. I appreciate talking to you this morning. Thanks for spending some time with me. And look forward to talking to you again, man. I hope you guys have a great day. And if you're just messing around in Anderson, feel free to hit the radio and see if I'm around.
Nick, it was good talking to you this morning, and thanks for the ride along. And try to get back into the final. 7-3.
2-4, QHV. Clear here, 73.
From Patrick, KF5WLL.
Leroy, how are you today?
Doing good. I'm heading down Wade Hampton, so I'm about ready to lose the repeater. I'm going behind Paris, so. But I'm doing good, heading into town for a little bit to do some work at the museum. Museum on Boyce Avenue. I'm a member of the camp there.
Is that in Greer or Taylor's?
I feel Boyce off of 385 or Cleveland. Not Cleveland, Washington.
Be that, Washington. But you're starting to break up, Leroy, so I'll let you go. You be careful out there today, and good to hear you. KO4HKX, 73.
Yeah, roger that. I'm down here by Wesley and Wade Hampton in the shadow. 73, KA5WLL mobile.